thank the Lord for another opportunity.
Amen.
To look into the Word of God for a little bit. Spiritual church. I believe God has designed that.
Yes.
He gave us a spirit. He gave us His spirit. I would like to read some scripture, starting in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Skip around a little bit, because I want to get down to my point. And to the burden I feel the Lord would have us to try to deliver today. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I want to skip down to the 11th verse, and it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The rest of that is all good, but I want to stop right there. If you read, especially the first 16 verses, of the 4th chapter of Ephesians, you'll find that Paul here is speaking to the church and speaking of unity, oneness. He's speaking of unity of the Spirit. He's also speaking of unity of the faith. What is not actually mentioned out, but what is implied in this text, is a unity of cooperation. God has designed His body in such a way that we would be able to cooperate one with another, because we are one with God and one with one another. So that unity brings us together, and it doesn't matter where we come from, who we are, what our background is. If we're born again, born into the Church of God, we can have that kind of unity. If we have the unity of the Spirit, it will bring us, through teaching, to the unity of the faith. That's how we get to the unity of the faith, is through teaching. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. Brother Keith Fuller is a teacher. You all recognize that. Brother Larry is a preacher. But I'm going to, by the help of the Lord, to try to stay in a teaching mode. Because I believe that's the way the Lord would have us to do that this morning. And I have endeavored to do it from time to time, but it's kind of hard to stay in it whenever you're really your calling. It says here that He gave some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And I think my qualification and my call is more of the evangelistical type than the teacher. But anyway, we want to talk about a spiritual church where every member is filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that's God's design. I won't use a lot of scriptures. There are a lot of scriptures but that could be used. But I believe that it is God's design for you and I to Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I see that as two parts. There's a part that we have to play in that, and whereby if we desire or we do receive the Spirit of God, there is a consecration, there is a humility on our part, and a submission where we give everything over to the Lord. Consecrating and submitting our life to Him to do with whatever He chooses. Back in the old Bible, in the Old Testament time, when Solomon built the temple, and it said they brought the vessels in, the cups and the saucers and those kind of things that they were going to use, and the priests would use in the temple to worship God, they were set apart.
Yes.
They were set aside, and that was the only thing that they were to be used for, was to worship God in the temple. But today, you and I are the temple of God.
Yes.
And a Spirit-filled individual is set apart, is given to God to be used for His service.
Amen.
But then there's also a part where God plays in this thing. And I believe that's the most important part. You remember on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Came down in cloven tongues of fire.
Amen.
That represents a purging. Or a cleansing.
Amen.
And you and I were born into the world with a nature. We were born into sin, the Bible says. We were born with the nature that Adam passed down to you and I, or that was passed down to you and I through Adam.
Amen.
And we were born with that, but I believe that the folks there on the day of Pentecost, when the fire of God came down, and anointed them and touched them, I believe there was some purging and some cleansing in that. In the Old Testament, if we would go to the 51st chapter of Psalms, you would read where David said, "Purge me with hyssop, cleanse me, and I shall be made whiter than snow." David understood and recognized that there was a need that he had. That needed to be purged. Because in that chapter, it was talking about where he was guilty of blood when he had sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, out to die. And so he knew that God had, God sent Nathan to him and told him, you know, you're the man. And he realized there's something there that caused me to do that. And he said, purge me. Now, he didn't live under the gospel dispensation, the time that you and I live. Holy Spirit had not been given. But nevertheless, there is a purging and a cleansing that God has for every one of us.
Amen.
It takes away excuses of personalities. It takes away excuses of backgrounds and how I was raised and all those
Amen.
Kind of things. Now, when the Lord saves us and sanctifies, He doesn't take away our personalities.
Amen.
But what I mean by that is that we don't use our personality for excuses.
Amen.
At the judgment day, there will not be any excuses.
Amen.
There may be some reasons why that you didn't get there or make heaven, but the excuses will be thrown
Amen.
Out the door. And even the reasons aren't going to get you into heaven if you haven't done what you ought to have done. Spirit-filled church. There is a place in the body for every one of us that have had that experience of a cleansing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I think right here I'll insert this. You and I would not know how to worship God except God had told us how to do that.
Amen.
Jesus made the statement that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him
Amen.
Must worship Him in spirit and truth.
Yes.
We didn't have that ability
Amen.
To do that
Yes.
until God gave us His Spirit.
Amen.
God has given you and I everything that we need
Yes.
to worship Him.
Yes.
Anything outside of that
Amen.
God does not accept.
Yes.
You understand that?
Amen.
What God has given us is His Spirit. And we worship Him in that Spirit.
Amen.
But anything outside of that, anything that's concocted by man,
Amen.
Any ideas of man, any theology of man, God does not accept.
Amen.
God has given us what we need to worship Him.
Praise the Lord.
All right, I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about the body.
Amen.
There is a place in the body for every one of us. And the Bible says that God set the members in the place that it pleases Him.
Amen.
Sometimes we get the idea, we might look at someone and say, well, that individual there, I don't know why they're trying to do that. God put us in the body as it pleases Him.
Amen.
And I have learned from long ago experience that even when you don't believe that, you know, I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry, He gave me a vision. I actually had a vision. I heard Him. I saw a being speaking to me. Never had another one since. But He gave me a vision, and it's a good thing that He did. I understand now why that He did, because I probably or might have backed up on what He asked me to do. Because I prayed for a long time, Lord, You made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes, but I felt like this fellow here is no preacher. Lord, You made a mistake. God does what He will. He is sovereign, and He doesn't ask you and I what He can do. He does whatever He wills. But His Son and the Spirit work in the church. He said Jesus is the head of the church. By Him all things consist. But the Spirit was given unto us to lead us and to guide us into the truth. So when He puts us in the body, He has something in mind for us to do.
Yes.
Not just to sit in our pews. Not just to sit back and let everybody else feed me or minister to me, but He has something for every one of us to do. And every member is important. Every member. Even those that are maybe not in the forefront of things. Think about, we talk about sometimes when we go to my life, or in this meeting right here, you know, there are people that are cleaning restrooms. There are people that are sweeping out the chapel. I've seen it. There are people that are doing a lot of things. They are just as important as anyone else in the body of Christ. I'm glad for that. The Scripture says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. That's in Psalms 127:1. Alright, if the Lord called you and put you in the body, and up there where I am, He called me and He put me in the body, and over here there's someone else that He has put in the body. When we come together in a setting like this, we need a balance, don't we? Because we all, as I said, have different personalities, we have different backgrounds. There's a need for a balance then. As we come together and worship God. Where do we get that balance from? We get it from the Holy Spirit. He tempers. And He leads and guides into the truth. So the balance comes from the Holy Spirit. It keeps us, if we have the Holy Spirit, from going from one extreme to another. You know how in love, and when a young man and a young woman are in love, and maybe the man jilts the young woman, or she jilts him, or says, you know, I don't want to go through with this, you know, and they break it up. But many times that one that's been jilted, I don't know if you understand that word, but the one that's been shunned, will they want so much to be accepted and they want so much to be loved that they'll go out there and reach out for just about anything if someone lets them know they love. Well, the Holy Spirit, see, when it comes to truth and error, keeps us in a balance. That if we hear one thing that may be error over here, and we hear the truth over here, the Holy Spirit knows how to separate those things and bring everything into a balance. To give us understanding. That's one reason why it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit. I want to kind of throw this in here. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things that He's not guilty of. There's a lot of spirits out there in our world, folks. And they're not all the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of what So, in the body of Christ, or in this spiritual church, and it's a spiritual church because God has given us that Spirit. A song's coming to my mind. God has given us His Spirit, and we want the world to hear. All of our doubts are passed away.
Praise the Lord.
And wasn't there a great change on the day of Pentecost in the Apostle Peter? Great change in that man's life.
Yeah.
He had been very impetuous. He spoke quickly and he even rebuked the Lord one time.
Amen.
You know, when the Lord said he had to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be killed and all these kind of, he even rebuked him, and the Lord rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." But and Peter even failed the Lord when he denied him, didn't he? But on the day of Pentecost, who was the first one to stand up?
Hey, brother.
It was Peter.
Yes.
Being filled with the Holy Ghost, it said.
Hey, brother.
He was a different man after he was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In the world that you and I live in today, it is imperative, it is absolutely necessary that you and I be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hey, brother.
The powers of darkness, as Paul said over there in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, I guess it is, that the principalities and the prince in the air and the powers of darkness that you and I are facing as Christians today, it is absolutely necessary and imperative. And Jesus said, He said, "It's expedient unto you that I go away." Jesus knew we were going to need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because we are facing the impositions of the enemy, and he's binding people, he's putting chains on people, and habits and things like this that are happening to our people today. So it is absolutely necessary, folks, for us to have the Holy Spirit. But in the body of Christ, you and I need to and must esteem each other properly. We need to have respect for one another. When I was growing up in our little congregation, Sister Carol can attest to that, our pastor said there are no big I's and there are no little U's.
Yes.
There's no big me's and little U's out here. We're all equal in the sight of God. I hope we believe that. We're all equal in the sight of God. But now this is where we come down to what I want to get across to us today. There are gifts that are given in the body of Christ.
Right?
I want to turn, before we go there, I'd like for us to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. Read a few verses here. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When you are saved, you get a new mind. When you are sanctified, that mind, how did he say that, is quickened. You hath he quickened, or made alive. That mind is made more sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's made more sensitive to spiritual things.
Yeah.
All right. He said, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or humbly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation." All right, Paul here begins to speak about the body and the different members and the different gifts or talents that has been given to the members. Brother Ptolemy can stand up here and he can lead a good song service. We was talking about that right before this service. You sure wouldn't want Brother Larry to try to do that. Because I don't have that talent. I don't even have that ability to do that. The Lord, you know, I heard Brother Isaac Chandler. He's an old brother that was among us years ago. And he was a very wise man. He said, if man knows how to build a house, and he knows that it's going to take carpenters and plumbers and electricians and roofers, and he knows it's going to, you know, it takes these specialists, so to speak, to build a house.
Amen.
He knows how to build the church. God knows how to build the church.
Amen.
He knows who to put in it. He knows what is within each and every one of us, and he knows what he can get out of each and every one of us and use that to the edifying of one another.
Yeah.
See, God's amazing that way.
Yeah.
We find God, you know, be amazing many times, and yet we realize that's just God. That's just God.
Yeah.
Because he's an awesome God.
Yeah.
He is an awesome God. So, with that, I want to turn over, and this will probably be my last text. And I've got some things to bring out then. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, all of the members of the church don't have the same office, but we are members one of another. Better read some. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. How do we get spiritual gifts? By the Spirit. If you want to see someone with the gift of healing, or the gift of faith, or any of these other gifts that we're going to look at here, you can seek the Lord for those things.
Amen.
But it takes the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of gifts.
Yes.
Amen.
And it is not just for the ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
It's for the spiritual church.
Amen.
In order to be a member of God's church, you've got to be spiritual.
Yes.
Amen.
You've got to be spiritually minded.
Yes.
In order to be a member of God's church. Man doesn't put you in it. Man doesn't put you out of it.
Amen.
We each one hold the keys to that in our own life. Yes, ma'am.
I know if some of us were born with a gift. Okay. So my question is, if I know I don't have that gift, let's say the gift of discernment, the gift of whatever, and I see that gift and want that gift, is it possible for me to pray and ask God for all that would be? Would that be?
What is the last verse in this text? This very text. Very last verse. Well, let me read 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers in miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts.
Yes.
And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That's 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. See that? Covet.
1 Corinthians 12 and what?
1 Corinthians 12 and 31, the very last verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts. If the Lord has put that burden, or you have that burden on your heart, and you desire a gift, yes, we can pray and ask the Lord for that gift. We have that right. It is. The Lord has the right, you know, in His realm to do whatever He chooses. But we do have a right to covet that gift.
Yes.
Does that answer that?
Yes.
Covet normally has a negative aspect to it. In this case, it doesn't. This is just seek diligently for
it. That's good. That's a good point.
I do.
I read a couple more verses to go along with that. First of all, she didn't.
I didn't part what you said.
He said covet, the word covet earnestly, normally has a negative effect. You know, we're not to be covetous people.
Right.
But in this case, what was the last part?
And to have a seek diligently for, have a strong desire for.
Right.
But in this case, it's a positive thing, a good thing.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts.
Right.
And then the 12th verse says, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
So that would mean, and the gift that is edifying in the church, with the edification.
It would be wrong to seek any gift for selfish purposes. Any gift that is given by the Spirit is for the benefit, and I'm going to get into that, is for the benefit of the church.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily for my benefit, but it's for the benefit of the brother, of the church, and the body of Christ. And I am going to get into that more fully. Like I said, I'm not a teacher, so don't hold me too hard here. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now that tells me something here. In this spiritual church, or this spiritual body of Christ,
Amen.
That I have been given authority by the Holy Ghost to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. We get our authority from God by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come from anything that I work out. It doesn't come from good deeds. It doesn't come from my brilliancy of mind. But it comes, it says here, by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You understand, there's different gifts that's given in the body, but they're all given by the same Spirit, the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. God may call one minister, and I'll use minister, God may call one minister and give him a burden. Basically, doesn't mean that he has to stay there every time that he gets up to minister, but a burden to the church.
Amen.
He may give another minister a great burden to the lost.
Amen.
Remember in the scriptures, when Jesus was still here and he sent out his disciples, he sent them out two by two. And I tell you what I'd like to see among us. It seems like it's almost impossible today. Everybody's so busy and this and that and the other. But, you know, I'd like to see two brethren go out. One has a burden for lost souls, and the other one has a burden to feed those lost souls when they've been saved.
Amen.
You see, the unity of the faith. One brother preaching and people being under convicted and being saved, and then after he's saved, the other brother comes along and he begins to teach.
Yeah.
He begins to give them understanding, which begins to lift them up and build them up. See,
yeah.
That's the way I believe that God has designed the church.
Yes.
I believe that's the way the Lord brings this thing together. So there's diversity, there's even different types. Teaching. And preaching, you find, don't you, a real teacher, I'm not a real teacher, but you find it in teaching a little different level of anointing that you might find in preaching.
Amen.
There's a little different type of a liberty in preaching as far as expression and things Amen. Like that may not come out in teaching. So there's diversities of operation, but it is the same God.
Yeah.
Take our work all in all. Brought us together, uses your personality, uses my personality, brought us all together now into one body, and he's gonna mold us, and he's gonna shape us, and we're gonna work together, and we're gonna be in unity and oneness and harmony. We're not gonna murmur and complain, we're not gonna fight, we're not gonna have strife, we're not gonna have divisions. Because we're all of the same spirit. It's a beautiful picture. The church is beautiful, folks.
Yes.
That's the way God has designed it in his wisdom. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Did you hear that? Every manifestation of the Spirit is given to heaven. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. How? That I might be able to rake in the money? No, to profit spirits. That everyone would profit in the spiritual realm. It's a spiritual church. Or a spiritual body. Alright. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of the healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Remember the parable where Jesus was talking about how he gave one fellow 5 talents?
Amen.
5 talents, one fellow 2 talents, and one fellow 1 talent.
Amen.
Fact of it is that God in his wisdom, he knows what our several ability is.
Amen.
He knows what he can give us. And more importantly, he knows what he can trust us with.
Yes.
Gifts that have been given have been known, men have been known to be puffed up by those gifts.
Amen.
And it's caused them great sorrow and trouble in the end. All these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, or who is willing. You know, the scripture, the Old Testament scripture says the willing and the obedient show you the good of the land. You know, God may want to call you, and if you're not willing and you back up, he will accept that. He says, we have the will, and he won't override the will. But it could be to your own spiritual destruction if you back up on God. It will be. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, it doesn't matter who we are, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very simple person, and I can deal with words. See, Paul said, one body, one Lord, one Spirit. I can deal with one. That I don't get confused with one. And that's what Paul actually deals with here. Being many are one body, and so also is Christ. But by one Spirit we're all baptized. For the body is not one member, but many. And I could go into the rest of that there, but I want to get down to my... See, time is moving away, and I know it's hot in here.
I had a question on this verse 10. It says to another, the interpretation of tongues. I know we don't really speak tongues, but I spoke to someone that they did, and he told me he speaks tongues, and he had someone there that interpreted it. I kind of like laughed because I was brought up not into tongues, so I really didn't understand that. So,
I believe the correct word there would be languages. I wish that it would have been written that way. Do you have a better explanation?
No, that's what it is. I've been places where they speak other languages, and if God would give me the gift of tongues, I could have spoken in their language.
Right.
But instead, there have been under the anointing of the Spirit people to interpret. I was preaching in English, and they had through the instrument. I mean, there was an anointing on them to interpret into the language of the people that were there, and that's a special anointing.
I think, Brother Paul, that you'll find that one of the best examples in Scripture was when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and people were there from different nations, different countries, and they understood what he was saying in their language.
Acts 2:8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue or language? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They heard in their own language.
See, that come under that anointing of the Holy Spirit. When the 12 of tongues came down and rested on the disciples there that day. But, you know, something just came to my mind. Folks, remember before that happened, what did they do? They tarried in Jerusalem. There was some praying going on in that upper room. They were praying. They were seeking God. God doesn't just come along and just tap you on the shoulder and say, "Now you've got the Holy Spirit." There's a seeking for this. And a lot of people seem to be confused about sanctification of the Holy Spirit. It's not. God didn't mean for it to be confusing. He meant for us to understand His part, the Spirit that He sends down and does a cleansing and a purging and a definite second work in your heart and life. He gives you power. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come for you."
Amen.
And then there's my part, your part, where we submit and consecrate and give my vessel over to the Lord.
Amen.
Let Him have His way. Did we answer your question okay? About the languages?
That's okay, what languages. But I see them, they're not speaking languages, it's like gibberish or something.
I said a while ago that the Holy Spirit is blamed for a lot of things, and He's not guilty. Just putting it in a nutshell, the problem with that is the real... They use the speaking in tongues as a foundational doctrinal issue of being accepted. The speaking in tongues. This is one of their main things that they push out there, isn't it? When that is unbalanced, it's unbalanced. We need to take the whole word. Not just one issue, not just one doctrine. But anyway, that they have that wrong anyway. It's languages that Paul meant. It's languages. So we all have the same office, or don't have the same office, but we are members one of another.
Very good.
And anyone that has a gift is gifted by the same Holy Ghost, right?
Very good.
That's what we read. We are not only joined by the Holy Ghost to God, but we are joined to each other. That bond of perfectness. We are joined to each other. We are not just independently connected to God and not independently connected with one another, but we are all connected. I want you to understand that. There is no independence in the Church of God. We are all connected. Brother Michael is not free, or I guess I should just use my either one. We're not free to go wherever we want to go and do whatever we want to do and not be made accountable to a body. To the body. There's a body of ministers. There's a body of saints. We are accountable to you. We are accountable to the body of ministers. So we don't just go off and do our little, our thing and what we think we ought to do, but there's accountability there. Yeah. See, that's the beauty. And one of the beauties of this is that we are all accountable one to another. The Holy Spirit. And God makes us accountable to that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Does that mean, like, if I want to go to Miami, that I can't just jump up, pop up, and go without letting the church know.
No, ma'am. That does not, that is not what that means. I didn't ask permission for my congregation. I didn't ask permission for anybody when I come down to Honduras.
Not say permission, but should not let the church know what I'm doing.
I think as much as you possibly can, that communication is one of the best things that will keep questions and doubts and people casting aspersions and those kind. I think communication. We ought to have communication. I don't think we should go around and hide things from one another. We are transparent. We heard that a lot. We are to be transparent. But you know, if you feel the Lord leading you one way, and somebody comes in, now, Sister Ben, I don't know, I don't feel like, well, you know, I remember years ago, but I'll never forget it, when I went to my pastor and told him that the Lord had dealt with me and that I felt like he'd give me a message, one of the first things out of his mouth, and I never forgot it, he said, I'm not no one's Holy Ghost. I'm not your Holy Ghost. We have a Holy Ghost. Thing of it is, you have the Holy Ghost, and I have the Holy Ghost. I believe that there's a trust and there's a bond, that you're going to do what the Holy Ghost would have you to do, and I'm going to do what the Holy Ghost would have me to do. And there won't be any conflicts.
Yes.
There won't be any conflicts. Okay? I want to say something about these gifts that's very important. If God has given a gift to a member of the body, and it's not respected, and it's not accepted by the people, there's very little benefit that's going to be given to the body.
Yeah.
It will have very little benefit. If people are sitting around saying, I don't believe that brother, I don't believe the Lord called this, or I don't believe that they have the gift of faith, or I don't believe, it cannot be functional. It cannot be edifying unless the body will accept what the Holy Ghost is doing. It can't work among us when we're doubting and we're questioning what the Holy Ghost is doing. So there must be confidence in the one that has the gift. But I want to say this about the gift. If you have the gift, God will confirm it by His anointing. If you have the gift, God will confirm it and the people will see that the gift is there. Is that alright? God will confirm it. You know, we've heard things in this meeting about authority. Well, God gives us authority to minister, to do whatever we're doing. But I want to tell you where real authority comes from in leadership. It comes from you. It comes from the approval of the people, or acceptance of the people. Let me use that word. It comes from the acceptance of the people. Whenever the people are willing to accept, and they're willing to sanction you, that yes, that brother or that sister has the gift. That's where authority comes. Because if I don't have authority with the people, I may be, and I was telling someone earlier, I may be a good leader, but if you're not willing to follow me, I can't lead you anywhere. So we have to see, do you understand? We have to see the spiritual. We have to see the spirit involved in this thing. But in order for you to see a gift that a brother over here might have, you both have to be spiritual. It's a spiritual body. It's a spiritual church. People out in the world, they don't understand what I'm talking about here this morning. But I'm talking about spiritual things. Things that have been given to us by God through His Holy Spirit.
I have a question. What if someone feels, you know, the Lord has led them to preach, to be a minister, and you don't see that when you go there?
How much time have you given?
2 or 3 days? Years.
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 I mean, a few years. I mean,
you don't
have the confidence, you don't see the anointing, and you have souls coming in, and you sit there and you realize, I mean, people are not really listening, they're sleeping, I don't know. I've been praying about this, asking the Lord to help me along this line, because I don't see it, and I don't really have that confidence.
If you have that situation, I would say one of the first things to do is to search your heart and be sure that you don't have anything personal against that individual. But back up to what I said before, if God calls, He puts His hand on it. The gifting is given by the Holy Spirit, and He will anoint it. There are different levels of anointing, and I don't have time to get into that. But there are different levels of anointing. When I first started ministering many years ago, I did not have a level of anointing that I have today. I didn't have the understanding that I have today. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Sister Bendis up here evidently knows who you're talking about, since you're her granddaughter, but she's saying 2 or 3 years. Well, that's a long time, and you don't see any anointing.
For me, I might be the one you're talking about, but I've known them for about, 5, 10 years. And in that 10 years, I haven't seen no anointing.
I tell you what I do, I pray for them. I pray for them. Got any better advice over there?
No personal, nothing with me and them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have to be sure that that's not involved.
I'm sure.
You know, any kind of prejudice or differences, or they've hurt me in the past, and I don't have confidence in their life, and something like that. Now, if you don't have confidence in someone's life, and you know that there's things there that may be sin, then sure, there's a real problem there.
Well, maybe might be that I don't have confidence in your lives.
Well, I just got through saying, if I have a gift and you don't have confidence in me, sister, I cannot minister to you. Mm-hmm. I will not be effective.
Yes.
And if we're in that place and we see we're not being effective, if we see that even though I really feel like God has called me, that nobody here has ever edified where I'm ministering, that I want to recognize that maybe I'm not in the place the Lord wants me to be. Because if He has a place for me, the Lord's going to open up an avenue to where I can have an effective ministry and an effective anointing in the place He has us to minister.
Okay, if you know that no one there has no confidence in you, and you are not being a blessing there, what would you do?
Me personally, I think according to the scripture that has been brought out and what Brother Larry said, I think I personally would step back. I would personally step back and re-examine my call, and because if I can't minister, it means I'm going to start being a hindrance.
That's right.
And so, and I'm not talking about one or two. We're talking about at large.
But you have to be filled with the Holy
Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit to have the humility and the grace to do that. That's right.
Okay. We want everyone to be clear here. If you have any questions, just speak right up.
Brother Larry, I have a question. You said a few minutes ago about if they strike, if you work in the quarantine, if you're dealing with the Holy Ghost and I'm working, there shouldn't be any strike there. And my question is, what if there is strike? Does that automatically mean that someone is not listening to the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Well, what comes to my mind, Brother Nathan, is when you're looking at that picture, we have some Bible examples of things. Remember when Paul and Barnabas had a little difference?
Yeah.
Because Barnabas wanted to bring Mark with him, and Paul said no, and the Bible said there was a little contention. But it wasn't something that they fell out of. Because later on, I believe it was, they worked together again. It wasn't something. It wasn't something that did damage to the church. There was a difference. Brother Austin Wilson said this one time. He said, "I'll tell you the type of man I am, and I believe I'm this kind of a man too. You don't have to agree with everything I say for you and I to get along. We may view things a little different, but that doesn't mean we can't get along. Because if two sanctified people ought to be able to get along, even if I don't, you know, because." Getting off my fault, but anyway. You know, Brother Nathan, some people, it all depends on what direction you're going. By that I mean, some people are growing and developing and they're moving closer to the Lord. Some people that have been up here are failing and they're going back the other way.
Yes.
You understand what I mean by that? People are losing grace, they're losing love, and they're going back. So what direction, it depends on what direction you're going. If you and I would have a falling out or a contention or strife, and we both are losing our effectiveness with God in our relationship, then, you know, we're both going the wrong way. And that could be a real hindrance to the church if the church sees it. But if I'm endeavoring to learn and endeavoring to grow and endeavoring to develop, and I don't see things just like you do, give me an opportunity.
Yes.
Give me time.
Yes.
Our pastor used to say, when someone gets saved, I'll give them 5 years. I'll give them 5 years to grow. So, you know, God's a merciful God. Don't forget that.
Yes.
God's very patient. He's very long-suffering. He was with me. I'm sure He has been with you.
Yes.
We can't quickly just brush out and put judgment on someone. We got to... You know something else I learned? I don't know, maybe I won't even finish this. But something else that I learned one time in an ordinance service. After I had finished having my feet washed and I had washed another brother, I was outside and there was an older minister there. And he started talking to me. This has been years ago. And we were standing there by the building, and he said, "Brother Larry," he said, "you see these bricks here?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What is that in between?" I said, "It's mortar." He said, "Well, what's it there for?" I said, "It keeps the bricks apart." He said, "Yes, and it also holds them together."
Yeah.
That's the love of God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the love of God. It gives you and I, it gives every one of us our space, but it still binds us together.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes.
I say I got a good hold of that.
Yes.
It may hold us together, but it also keeps us apart. And it gives us our space, or vice versa. Anyway, which way that you want to look at it. It has two purposes there. But I always looked at it as it helped building together. But it also holds the bricks apart, doesn't it? So when you may see sometimes Brother Larry act out in a way or say something, you think, "Well, you know, I really don't think a Church of God minister ought to act like that," or say, "Give Brother Larry a little space."
That's right.
Don't be quick to judge
people.
You never know. I've learned some things too. You don't know how God is working with that individual.
Yeah.
You don't know how God's doing. But I tell you this much, it would be much better for that soul if God rebuked them than it would be if you and I rebuked them.
Yeah.
Because He will do it with love every time.
Right.
And only God knows and understands when that individual is in a place to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't. Unless God revealed it to us. Understand that?
Brother Larry. Can I add something to mind?
No, I do not.
The Lord gave me some very similar, and I don't know if there would be... Here, don't sit down.
I'm not.
Okay. I'm going to say, in light of the questions, too, there are, as Brother Larry brought out, there are differences in administrations. There are differences in the gifts. When I preach and I minister, I don't do it like Brother Larry does. We're different people.
Yes.
And so then there are times that maybe one person can minister and you think, you know what, I don't feel anointing, I'm not getting a lot of good out of it. You know, they probably just shouldn't be ministering. And I'll hear someone, I've sat in messages, I'm a minister, I'll just be honest with you. I've sat in messages and didn't get a lot out of it. I'll just be real frank. And then someone else will get up and talk about how edified and how blessed they were. And then other times my soul is really fed, and someone else I find out didn't get a lot out of it. And it was because God was using the differences to minister to us in different ways.
Yes.
So we have to be careful about judging someone's gift because maybe I don't connect with it as much as I do with someone else's. So I just wanted to point out we need to be real careful in that because the Lord does. That's why we have these different ministries and different gifts and different personalities and different approaches that we can all be edified as a body.
Thank you. Any other questions or can I move on here? I'm not going to be able to get much more anyway. It's 11:45. Maybe this will help your question a little bit. The Holy Ghost has the right to use any sanctified soul in whatever place He chooses. The Holy Ghost has that right. We have saints that live isolated. Don't have congregations. They don't have pastors. We have several congregations, shame on us, that doesn't even have pastors. But the Holy Ghost can and will minister to that isolated person. The Holy Ghost will do that. The Holy Ghost ministers to you and I. When the preaching goes forth, it is the Holy Ghost that's ministering the Word to you. See, God has designed His Word to go forth in such a manner that the Word goes forth through the foolishness of preaching. It's the Word, but He takes the Word by His Spirit and brings that into the heart. He takes that into the heart of each and every individual that's hearing it. It's the Holy Ghost that's ministering to you. What little feeble effort that we're trying here to do here this morning, it's the Holy Ghost. If you're getting fed or if you're getting understood, it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And even if you live isolated, the Holy Ghost has the right and does go and minister to those people. You can live saved isolated. I would prefer to be in a congregation. And I believe the New Testament teaches us that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If it's possible, we ought to be in that type of a place. You know, the Holy Ghost, He works in so many ways. God chooses in this visible body to use human instrumentality. But nevertheless, if the human instrumentality is not available, He has other ways of ministering. He ministered to Cornelius in the Bible when he was praying. He was seeking the Lord. And He told him to go seek out somebody, didn't He? He said, go seek out a man named Simon Peter. And He sent for Simon Peter to come. So the Holy Spirit then revealed to him that I have a man over here. I have a man that can minister to you. You go seek for him and let him come and he'll minister to you and he'll tell you what you need to do. See, I know you've heard this term many times, but we sure can't put God in a box. We can't put the Holy Spirit in a box.
Amen.
If someone else, if you fail, God can find another way. If there's an honest soul and there's a need there, He can find another way to minister.
Amen.
To minister to that individual. The Holy Spirit. Our success, and you know, this is simple, but our success, folks, depends on one another.
Yeah.
It depends on one another. If the body is weak, it affects us, doesn't it? If spiritually we're weak, it affects us. There's not much the whole body can do. You take us. If I got a weak heart, and I do, and my heart begins to give me trouble, it affects the rest of my body. And just because you can say, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not this and I'm that, don't get the idea that what you do doesn't affect the body, because it does. When Achan went out and took of the Babylonian garment and all those things, it affected, didn't it?
Yeah.
It affected all of Israel. And they were going out to battle. Folks, we're battling an enemy today.
Amen.
And what you do, I'm not talking about in services or when people are looking on, but what you do in the privacy of your own home.
Amen.
The things that you allow in your life, things you're looking at, things you're listening to, and all that, those have an effect on the spiritual church.
Amen.
The body of Christ. They have an effect. You know, we need to understand something about God too. God said, if any two on earth agree as touching any one thing that they shall ask, that it shall be done.
Amen.
Any two. Then we have an Old Testament scripture that says, if one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000.
Amen.
And I've heard people take the math and do what 10 people can do and all that. I don't remember. But my point is, God puts great value on unity.
Amen.
God puts great value on unity. If any two, he didn't say two or three. He said where two or three are gathered together. But if any two agree on earth as touching any one thing, God puts great value. One can chase 1,000, see? And two can put 10,000 to flight. God puts value on that. And when you and I are filled with the Spirit of God and have that power working within our lives, and you and I can go out and whatever God is requiring us to do, God puts value on that. He puts His hand on that and He blesses that because we are in one accord. It's always God having to bless it. It's always God. We don't want Him to blow on it, as I brought out the other night. We want Him to bless it.
Amen.
We don't want Him to destroy what we're trying to do. We want His favor.
Yes.
And we want His approval upon it.
Amen.
So we need to understand that about God and His approval and His on the agreement of you and I. I already brought out that there must be a confidence in the one with the gift of teaching, that the whole body may be enlightened, and preaching, that souls may be brought to God. I want to talk about two gifts right now. I might be able to finish this if you're tired, but let me know, and I'll be glad to stop. There is a difference between the gift of healing and the gift of faith. I mean, it gives us that in the Scripture. It separates them. The gift of faith, I believe, is broader in scope. It's broader. It's a broader... There's more involved with the gift of faith than there is the gift of healing. A lot of times people say, oh, I sure would like to see someone with the gift of healing. Well, I would too. But I believe I'd rather see someone with the gift of faith.
Amen.
The gift of faith is given that the whole body can see the gift and that there will be greater faith exhibited to the body and given to the body. Greater faith. Faith, Paul said, works by love. Isn't that what Scripture says? Faith works by love. So, we heard about love the other night, and I thought about this. I thought about this when Brother Michael was preaching on love. How much do we love God?
Amen.
How much faith do I have? And then I think, if I've got a little love, then I've just got a little faith.
Amen.
Because faith works by the love that I have. Now, if I've got a lot of love for God, then I can have a lot of faith.
Amen.
If I got abundant love, Lord, love with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I believe I can have that kind of faith.
Amen.
Because faith works by love. And I would like to see the gift of faith. I believe that our pastor had the gift of faith. I believe Brother Coy had the gift of faith. And it exuberated. It was contagious to the rest. It's not the right word, but it, when faith is lifted up, it causes others to be lifted. It brings encouragement. It gives strength. It gives a focus on this thing that, and a perceptive on that, that we don't really see within our own until that gift that has been given to edify me has been given to edify us. That's the purpose of life. It's not to lift up the one that has the gift, but it's to edify the body. So the gift of faith is broader in scope. This is one gift that I feel is of utmost importance to us today. And that is the gift of discernment.
Yeah.
I've run across people that seem to have the idea that the minister is the only ones that need the discernment. They're the watchmen. And they're the ones that's telling us what kind of days we're living in and what we're facing and what's coming and all this. Well, that part is true. But it's a gift for the body. It doesn't say for the ministers.
That's right. Mm.
I say, Lord, help any minister that tries to minister without some of the discernment. We need discernment because we face all kinds of spirits and things out in our world. But folks, God wants you.
That's right.
The Spirit-filled church to have the gift of discernment. When things come across or people come in the midst that you have questions or concerns about and you don't have real understanding, God can give you understanding.
Amen.
Discernment is not some philosophical idea. It's not something that some the medical world has trumped up, some kind of psychology. But it is a spiritual, divine gift that is given from God to you and I to be able to recognize the enemy when he's making an encroachment on our territory. We, all of us, need to get the discernment. The Spirit-filled church needs. You want to pray for a gift? Ask the Lord to give you the gift of discernment. Now, it seems like that most folks end up with the gift of preaching. A lot of preachers being churned out. We need them. We don't even have enough. I find that, you know, I've got two places to go in the next 2 weeks when I get home, Lord willing. We don't really have enough. But nevertheless, that's not the only gift given in the offering. There's a gift that helps. Folks, I remember an old sister when I was a little boy. She had the gift of helps. When someone got sick, she could move right into that home and just take charge. She'd take care of the washing and the cooking, and she'd take care of that individual and nurse them. She had the gift of help. There's a gift that not everybody can do that. My wife and I was involved with that this year. And someone came in and said, Brother Harry, I'm willing to help you cook it. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to clean the house. I'm willing to do that. But that back there, what you're doing back there, that's just not my thing. I can't do that. We need all kinds of gifts.
Yes.
All these gifts were put in the body, given in the body by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The saints, when we get done, and I tell this just by where I go. So, when we get done blessing everything in prayer, Lord bless this, and Lord bless that, bless her, bless him, let's pray for some of these things. Let's ask God for some of these things. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a price. There's a cost. He's not going to give it to someone he can't trust. He's not going to give it to someone that's going to get puffed up with it. He's not going to give someone that's living a shabby life. He's going to give it to someone that's filled with the Spirit. Someone that's had that cleansing and has that power working in their life. That's who he's going to give it to. I want to give you a Bible example of discernment. Remember when the early church, they sold all their possessions and they brought the money and they laid it down at the disciples' feet? Remember that? Who came in? Ananias came in and he laid it down. And Peter, nobody told me. And I want you to understand this. There were other disciples there, but only Peter understood what was going on. God revealed it to Peter. You may have a gift that God will not require you to use all the time. But whenever it's needed, God will reveal it to you, and then the gift will come in place. God wants to use it. But Peter recognized, and he said, why have you agreed to lie against the Holy Ghost? The Lord showed Peter that that wasn't all the way. That wasn't all of it. Now, this was a very harsh thing, or very strong what happened. But he died right there. Peter said, because you've done this thing, the Lord's, I don't remember how he said it, but the Lord's going to take it. And he died right there. And it said, while they were preparing him and getting him out, Sapphira came in.
Amen.
And Peter said, have you sold it for this and this? And she said, yes, this and this. This and that. And he said the same thing to her. The ones that carried out your husband's going to carry you out. The Lord showed Peter. That was all discernment, folks.
Amen.
God revealed it to him.
Yes.
He didn't know how much they had to give or how much they should have given. But God showed him. Didn't show the other disciples, but he showed Peter.
Amen.
Oh, we need that today. Yes. We need that kind of discernment, folks. We need that kind of understanding. But we have Bible examples of all of these gifts. For the gifts, and I have to put it on all of us, for the gifts in the body to function, the whole thing, the whole spiritual body must be brought up to a high level. There needs to be a high level of spirituality for it to function, for it to work. Do you know when Israel, children of Israel, when they were spiritual Israel, when they were in favor with God, there wasn't an enemy that could stand before them? Right? But whenever they went and murmured and complained and did all the other things that they did, they fell before their enemies. God has designed a spiritual church, saints. That you and I are to be up here at a level, not because we're better than everyone else.
Amen.
That's not what we're saying. Amen. We're saying we're filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we have some power now to live, not only above sin, not only to live from separated from the world, but now we are in a place where God can give us something and use us. The Bible tells us in several different places, why were you created? Why did the Lord create? God create you. To serve Him. Well, it says over in Revelations that He created us to glorify God. That's why we were created. Glorify God.
Amen.
We'll tell you this, and I think I'm going to leave the rest of this go. I heard a little thing in the on the radio one day at home. This fellow said he had preached the message, and after the service was over, one of the sisters come up to him and said, oh, brother, that was wonderful. You're just a great orator. That was just a wonderful message. He said on the way home, he got talking to his wife. He said, hey, he told her what happened. Sister so-and-so said that he said, I'm thinking about that. He said, I wonder how many of us great speakers there really are. And his wife told him. She said, well, I don't know how many there are, but I can tell you this, there's one less than you think there is. We're not to be exalted, folks.
Yes.
Right. We're not to be lifted up. God can only minister grace to the humble.
Yes.
If He gives us power to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, if He gives us power to cast out devils, He said, don't rejoice in those things, but rejoice because your name is written. And then He told those disciples, after you've done all that you can do, you're just another prophet. That's what we are, unprofitable servants.
That's true.
I know that I probably failed miserably this morning, but I hope that we understand that God has a church. He has a church. And He wants us to see it with our spiritual eyes. Because He said, without a vision, the people perish. We need a vision of the church. And I don't know, you might have heard this before, but there's a visible body and there's an invisible body to the church. You know, this is the visible body. And from the questions that I've heard, we're going to see things we don't understand. We're going to see people doing things we may not agree with. That's the visible body, but in the invisible body, that's the realm where the Holy Ghost is working with God's people.
Yeah.
You need to see that. And we need to have that mortar and give people space. It holds us apart and it holds us together. We're all members one of another.
Amen. I have one question. I was thinking about, I've heard people say before, like if you're in the body and you see a need, like if you see something needs to be done, maybe if, like you said, an order of help or a minister or a singer, whatever there is, and I've heard people say if you see a need, then that means fill it. You're supposed to, you know, and I've always wondered, well, I don't know if that is the leading of the Holy Ghost to that you see a need doesn't necessarily mean that you ought to, I would like to hear what's your thinking on that.
If you see a need, I think you may start praying about that because the Lord showed you that need.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, what would you have me to do about that? That's my thinking on it. You know what it'll do, Brother Nathan? It'll get you out of your comfort zone. When you come to service and you're always satisfied to let somebody else do the teaching or the praying or the testifying, they're growing.
That's right.
And you're getting stagnant if you're not doing anything. Say, Lord, I see a need here. Maybe the Lord wants you to come. No, you don't do something because someone else told you to.
No.
But then again, He may use someone else to kind of put a little fire under you, and you need to do a little praying and say, hey, maybe that's me that He wants to use. I know my sister told me when I told her I was coming down here, she said, well, I'll give you this, brother. You sure are getting out of your comfort zone. I said, you got that right. I don't know what I'm going to be dealing with, what I'm going to be facing. But I also know that I wouldn't give anything for the experience that I've had to be here. Brother Nathan, when God calls you and sets you in the body and you've been given over to Him, He doesn't care about your comfort. He doesn't care what He does with you. Because you now have a burden for souls. It isn't about your brother. It's about souls. And God will do, if you're submitted and consecrated, He'll do with you whatever He pleases. Lord, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll say what You want me to say. Lord, help us. Any other questions?
I'd just like to testify. The lesson has sure been a blessing to me. Seeing something clear today that the Lord had shown me or told me in 82. It was brought up real clear to me today. In 82, I know the Lord has told me that He wanted me and Sister Sanders to go to Honduras and work. And He said, Sister Sanders is going to, you're the preacher, that's me. Sister Sanders is the teacher. and she is to pray you through. And I thought about it. I did like me, I pondered it in my heart, and I see you. Anyway, I went to Sister Sanders and I told her, I said, Sister Sanders, the Lord saved me, you to go to Honduras and start to work. He said, I'm the preacher, you're the teacher, and you're to pray me through something like that. I said, but Sister Sanders, I know the Lord will make no mistake, but it's probably me making the mistake. I probably didn't understand him good. I said, I think you're the preacher, and I'm to pray you through. Because she was a good talker, and I wasn't a very good talker. So I said, I ain't no preacher. I never felt like I was one. I would ever be one. And I couldn't understand. I pondered out of, you know, and became, she did say, I have to pray about it, but, you know, Lord didn't give it to her. And she prayed a couple of months, and she came back to me, and she said, Sister Bennett, you know, I really believe that the Lord has spoken to me and said for us to go. And we came, started the work and everything, and I would always, when it come to preaching, I'll push her head, and I'll pray and find out, decide, I see the need of finance need, and I told her, well, I'm going to go to the States and work and support you out here while, you know. Anyway, the part I want to get to is that I did not understand about, I felt like preaching and teaching were the same thing, you know. And the way the brother brought it out, it came out so clear that he said, the Lord would send two, and one to preach, and the other one to, what is it, like the ministry. And now I understand, you know, that I thought the two thing was the one thing, preaching and teaching. And it's just like the Lord has said it. I was to preach, and she was a good talker. And see, she would encourage the souls. Mm-hmm. And she was a good prayer. I was in a good prayer. So the Lord don't make, he know just like the brother. He knows, he put the members in the body, and he know each and every one of us. We may feel like we can't do this, and we can't do that, and but the Lord knows. And if we would just follow his leading, you know, everything would go so smooth.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord this morning how he brought that out to me. So clear and beautiful. And I just want to say I thank God for what he has done and everything. And Sister Sanders was a good, she was a very good teacher, but she was not a preacher. And today now I do see and feel like, well, I was the preacher and she was the teacher. So I thank God for bringing that out this morning. You know, you say you're not a good teacher, but
no.
I never got that till today. So yes. The Lord knows just who to send, what to send, and he has the timing right. I just thank God, pray for me that I loved out the Lord. Nothing, anything. God can, if he made a donkey to talk, he sure would make a preacher out of us. So don't pray for me, please. That I not doubt the Lord again.
Number 292.